Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast, well, that looks at the fabric of our being, the very essence of who we are, through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, we call that polished look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to, well, take a step with us, take a look with us, sit back, relax, of course, unless you're driving a car, just kick back then, okay, and listen in. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. So good to have you with us. I want to welcome you and I want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us today. It happens to be November. It is the month of Thanksgiving here in the United States, and there's so much to be thankful for, so much goodness, and I just want to extend it to you, to our listeners. I'm getting email from just about every corner in the world. I'm getting responses, people writing in and telling us how important this ministry is. You know, I'm humbled and at the same time very thankful. I want to say thank you to all of you. And our hearts go out to many of you that have been devastated by the storm, the Sandy storm. They call it hurricane sometimes. Sometimes they call it a storm, but whatever the case, I know the devastation has been great. And our hearts go out to you, and we look forward to being able to extend a hand. Actually, this weekend, within all of the Armenian churches here in the West Coast, we're going to be having special collections of funds to be able to channel over to the people that have been hurt by Sandy. And you know, this is it's a two-sided sword for me. First of all, the devastation, it's just so much when you look at the pictures, when you look at the video coming out of that area, it's overwhelming. On the positive side, is there a positive side? Yes, there is. I mean, for me, within the Armenian Church, this signals a different, it's a shift of paradigm. And you know, a lot of times when we start thinking about, like, is what we're doing, I share with you a lot of times the In His Shoes mission. I talk to you about Epostle and this voice of Orthodoxy being out there in a different way. Let us being the hands and the feet of Christ. I mean, it's telling you that it's hitting someplace. People are listening. People are getting it. I mean, it's really overwhelming, you know, and it's so beautiful to be able to hear that within the Armenian Church, we're going outside of the box and collecting money for people that, well, may not have a tie to the Armenian Church, may not be connected to the Armenian Church, but realizing that we are part of the same group of beings, namely the human race. I think back on the last several years and the struggles we've gone through trying to explain that, you know, we do need to walk in the shoes of others, not just expect others to look at the Armenian shoe and trying to fit their feet into it, But actually, we have to be doing that. And you know, this week we went through a big election process here in the United States, and there were still people who were still talking about, like, what are the people doing for Armenians? Hey, the question is, what are Armenians doing for other people? We have a lot to offer. And so when our churches and our church leadership this week, our archbishop, he put out a communique asking parishes to take a second collection for the devastation for the people affected by Hurricane Sandy. My heart went out. It's saying, like, yes, people are listening. They're getting it. It's finally coming around. And that doesn't mean that we should just sit back right now, but all the more we should be addressing and pushing ourselves. When I think back on a few years back, when the question was, well, who's going to be helped by that? Are they Armenian? And now we're not even asking that question. We know that it is our obligation. We know that it is something that we need to help. Hey, this is what In His Shoes is all about. It's what In His Shoes was always about. It's like, okay, hey, we have this incredible past as Armenians. We've suffered. We've gone through so much. Okay, does that mean that we just have to be the victims of everything? Or can we be victors and say that, hey, because we have been through this in the past, now we realize that we need to help others get through their presence, whatever's going on in their lives right now. We've been through quite a bit of storms. Hey, shouldn't we be the first persons to throw out the blankets, throw out the umbrellas, and saying, yes, we're here to help? And it's happening. It's really happening. You know, in Armenian, we have this beautiful word called ndanik. It means family. And actually, the word itself is ndanik. Ndanik is the roof. Under one roof, it means. Literally, it means under one roof. So all the people under one roof are the family. So you could say Hayandanik, the Armenian family, the people under one roof of the Armenian nation, or Hayegeretsvo Andanik, the people under the umbrella or the roof of the Armenian church. But I want you to think about it, you know, again, Armadoxy, again, in his shoes. What is Andanik? What is the broad Danik, the broad roof, if not the sky, the heaven? And to realize that we are all collectively part of the human race, that we are all collectively part of the same family. I mean, let's go back. You know, when St. Gregory the Illuminator, he picks up the Nicene Creed and he says, as for us, we shall glorify that which was from the beginning. What's he talking about? He's talking about the time when it all came together. And at that time, we were all one people. We were all together. Why shouldn't we be? Right? Why shouldn't we be extending ourselves to others? Christ's commandment is a simple commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? Well, he loved every one of us. His love went out to every person. Not delineated by ethnic group, by skin color, but everyone was his child. Love people the way I have loved you. Can we love on those same terms? I think we can. And I think that's the challenge. That's the challenge before us. So, in a long way, to tell all of you out there and on the East Coast, especially those of you that have been hit by the storm and the hurricane, you know you're on our prayers, and along with that, you're in the work of the church. And that's so important to me. That's what this is all about. Along that same line, last week's sermon. In fact, if you get a chance, do pick it up. It is on Epostle. Listen to last week's sermon, because it is based on the lectionary reading. And the lectionary reading was that scene where Jesus' mother and brothers come to see him. And they come to Jesus and they say, hey, your mother and brothers are outside. They want to see you. And Jesus turns and says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? I mean, talk about rude, huh? Can you imagine? I mean, I got some kids. If they ever pulled that on me, you know, like if I said, hey, dad wants to see you, and they said, who's dad? I'd be devastated. I'd say, how rude. How rude, huh? In my parish, I have a young lady who was nominated to for the Emmy Awards. She does makeup. And right when the nomination came up, I said, hey, don't forget, when you get the award, don't forget your deadhead. Don't forget your priest. It's funny, huh? Like when you're up there and they're saying something, you want them to remember you. Of course. And here's Jesus. Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside. Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And people could start looking at that. In fact, it's one of those theology questions that everybody kind of kicks around. Like, oh, did Jesus have brothers? Does that mean that Mary was not a virgin? Does that mean that maybe there were other siblings? Or let's defend the case and say that he didn't have brothers. But in the Middle East, they used to refer to cousins as brothers. Oh, it's tiring, man, isn't it? It's tiring. So let me give you the Armadoxy answer to this. It's in the next line. The purpose of this, the purpose of this small little story, is to emphasize what's coming up. Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers, if not they who hear the word of God and do it? You want to belong to a family? You want to belong to the family of God? You want to be my mother? You want to be my brothers, my sister? You want to be in a sibling relationship with me? You want me to be your brother? Brother Jesus, here it is. I want you to be part of my family. I want you to be a Christian, part of the Christ family. I want you to be part of that family, Jesus says. And here's the simple way. No, you don't have to go get a blood test. Hear the word of God and do it. Wow. Action. Actions define who we are. Actions define that we are the family of Christ. Actions define that we belong to the Christian family. Actions define our faith. That's how simple it is. Now this month, as I said, it's the Thanksgiving month, and we're going to be looking at Thanksgiving in quite a few dimensions in the next few weeks, as well as through our Bible studies and all the broadcasts that we have on Epostle. I hope you'll be able to follow along. Do check out last week's sermon. It goes into it in a little bit more detail than I did right now. But the important thing is that we remember that for Christ, it's about that love. It's about extending ourselves. So we extend ourselves to the people who are hurt, whether it's by Hurricane Sandy, or how about what's going on in Syria right now? How about the devastation that's taking place in Syria? Yeah, we always talk about Darfur here on this show. We talk about the Congo. We talk about some of these dire situations throughout the world. Well, it's happening again right now in Syria. I was at a meeting this morning with the Archbishop of our diocese, Archbishop Hovnan, and he had just returned from Armenia, which he had just returned from Jerusalem before that. And so he wanted to give a briefing to his clergymen about what's going on in Jerusalem. Of course, the passing of the patriarch, Archbishop Torkum Manugyan, and he talked about the funeral service, and then he talked about Armenia, and saying that just about on every corner in Armenia, there were refugees, people who are coming from Syria, because the situation in Syria is so grave, bleak, especially for minorities such as the Armenians. Basically, what Syria did for the Armenians after the Armenian genocide was open doors, and now we have an opportunity to open up doors for the Syrians. Wouldn't it be great if we could get to a point where we could just understand that we're all children of God and we all belong together and we can end these wars? But until such time, it's up to us to extend ourselves wherever there is need. So we have opportunities. We have opportunities to love and to care. And this is really what church is all about. Actually, this is what church is about. I should say this because I'm going through a lot right now. I should qualify it. This is what church has always meant to me. And this is what the church has always meant to our predecessors. This is what the meaning of church was for Jesus Christ. Not everybody understands it like this. believe it or not, there's still people who argue, you know, who's going to heaven. And there's people who still argue, like, what's the correct faith and things like this. Just nonsensical issues, like how many angels are on the head of a pin. This weekend is the Feast of the Holy Angels. Yeah, this is a good one. If you haven't heard that, this is an old one. This is an old philosophical question. Since angels are pure soul, they don't have body. Now, there's this theological question. If there are such entities that only have soul, then how many of them can you fit on the head of a pin? Interesting, huh? And then you can kind of get carried away and start thinking about, well, why did God create these things? Look, the bottom line to all of this, all of faith is very easy. It's for us to be able to get along with one another. It's for us to be able to live in harmony with one another. When we come to Christmas and we say, peace on earth, goodwill to humankind, what does that mean? It means Christ is in our midst. Love is in our midst. It means we extend ourselves to one another. That's what the expression of love is. So it's very logical. The progression to get there is very logical. It's we as human beings that go off on these tangents, and we add a lot of illogic. A lot of times a lot of this illogic comes from our superstitions. Now, I did say that this was election time right now. Actually, you know what? Let's take a break right now and do the song of the day. I picked out, I'll tell you why in a little bit. It is the title track from Armin Chakmakian. It is called Caravan. I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Armin Chakmakian, a wonderful talent, beautiful music. Actually, the whole album. This is one of those albums that I could just take and listen to every single song on the album. It is called Caravan, and that is the title track from the album. We'll put a link on our show notes. Do check it out. Great, great music. Picked out Caravan for a reason. Now, we've talked about this in the past, but I never felt it more than this week, you know. We had elections here in the United States, and the president, the incumbent president, Barack Obama, won. Now, those of you who have been listening to Next Step like for a long time, like from the beginning of time, remember that 4 years ago I actually went and I campaigned for him. This year I didn't have the chance to go out there and campaign, but certainly I'm very pleased that he won. The last time I went out to Nevada desert, and we went to the homes in Las Vegas. And I was joining a group called, this is by way of a long definition of why we selected Caravan, okay? I know, some of you are popping up and saying, I know exactly why you picked it out. Okay, well, I'm glad, okay, but let me go through there. Go through the motions, okay? We're going to go through the association, how we get to Caravan, and in so doing, kind of tell a story. So this is back 4 years ago. We went out with a group called Armenians for Obama. Armenians for Obama. I signed up along with my son, Badujan. We were going to go out there, and we were going to go because Nevada, like this year, was an undecided state, meaning that it could go either Democrat or it could go Republican. And we felt compelled to go out there, and actually it was close enough to California where we could do a drive and we could go spend a couple days campaigning. And it was an experience because that was when the recession had just hit. People were going through some very, very rough times, and they were looking for change. And Obama certainly offered that change. It was a very interesting time for me personally to do that. And I remember the group called Armenians for Obama had organized this. So we went out to Nevada. Good friend of ours, Christopher Armin, he's an attorney. He said, hey, I'll join you out there and everything. So we went out there, and guess what? There were four of us. Armenians for Obama were four of us. It was just a name. There was nobody there. There was nobody there. It was the four people that we knew. We had all gone out from California. That was it. And I always remember this because, you know, they have the nerve to somehow expect that all of a sudden Obama has to listen to the Armenian, the demands of the Armenian people. One Armenian newspaper, this is no fooling, you're going to find this very hard to believe. It's called the U.S. Armenia. It comes out of Glendale over here where we serve. Unbelievable. On the cover of the newspaper this time, they've got Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, big pictures of them, and they've got giant X's crossed through them. We do not endorse either of them. I don't think anybody's holding their breath. I mean, like, if anybody has the right to demand anything of Obama, it's at least a few of us that went out there. Four of us, actually. And anyway, whatever. That was one incident that took place. Now, the Armenian National Committee, that's another wild one. I've been getting emails from them the last few days. We do not endorse either of the candidates. They have not been worthy of our endorsement. Yeah, like they're holding breath, you know. Well, what have you done for them? That's the big question. And that's what In His Shoes has always challenged. In fact, if you haven't, if you're saying, why is this priest talking about politics over here? If you haven't done it yet, go to inhisshoes.org. There is a video on there called Leveraging Love. Check out that video, Leveraging Love. It's a 1 hour video. It's on YouTube. It's worth sitting down with the whole family, with your loved ones, with people who have any kind of brain, sitting down and watching that and listening, because it gives an exact, it's playing that love, not in a political agenda, but playing it as a religious agenda, but having political ramifications. How did that all work? It works. Trust me. It does. It works. It really works. It's called Leveraging Love. Now, do check out that video. If you can't get to the website, just drop us a line, and we'll put a copy in the mail for you. We've got DVDs made of that, and it's really one of our more popular DVDs. It's a lecture that I did at Glendale Community College, and it's actually live, and do check it out. But why am I saying all this? It's like, at some point, we need to take responsibility for our own selves. The genocide that took place in 1915 is almost 100 years removed from us. Now, why do you expect politicians today, with all of the difficulties that are taking place in the world, to stop and saying we're going to recognize this? And not only recognize this, but we're going to treat you as victims. No way, man. I don't want that. I don't need anybody treating me like a victim. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, and I hope other people understand this, the genocide happened. Who do you need to authenticate it? Really, think about it for a moment. Who are you asking to authenticate it? It happened. It's almost an insult to say that it's even being questioned. It is an insult. How could you question that? It's happened. It's a genocide. Whether you know, it's like bring an elephant into the room, right? Now that's an elephant. You want to call it something else? You want to call it a bird? You want to call it a coat hanger? You can, but it's still an elephant. Genocide is genocide. Whatever you call it, it's still the genocide. And that happened in 1915. There's no compromise about it. In fact, there's no discussion as far as I'm concerned. What I'm concerned with is what are we doing about it in response to that? Well, there are genocides happening right now. There's situations happening right now. Are we taking an action against those things? Are we being worthy to be called the generations that have inherited the genocide? And certainly it's easy to make a lot of noise. Armenians for Obama, but when push comes to shove, who's there on the street? Who's walking those precincts? I was, so I could talk about it.
No brag, just fact.
Yes, that's it. I'm not bragging about it. It's just a fact. I was there. And these other people who are talking about it right now, that we have demands of Obama, weren't there. Okay? Now, what demands do we have? Let's be honest. There's nothing to talk about. The genocide is a real event. It took place. That being said, now let's take the next step. What do we do about genocides that are happening all around us? What do we do about situations all around us? Yes, there's those overt cases. Okay, let's look at Darfur. We look at the Congo. We look at what's been going on in the Middle East, what's happening in Syria. We're seeing war. We're seeing people die and everything. But how about right in our communities? How about some of the devastation? Because the mindset of the community is based on materialism. You're not going to believe this, but we talk about genocide in terms of what the gun has done, but there's an entire philosophy of materialism that is just killing people. Killing people. For instance, here in the United States, we had election a couple of days ago. Two of the states, I believe it was Washington, but the other one was Colorado for sure, they passed legislation to legalize marijuana. Now, marijuana is federally prohibited. So now you have state versus federal rules, and you're going to have to fight this out in courts. And it is already being challenged and everything. But here's the interesting thing. Okay, Colorado passes this legislation for marijuana. And I was listening to a news report. They were interviewing people on the street. Hey, well, how do you feel about this? I think it's great. I think it's bad. Now, one guy got up and he says, well, now at least it will be legislated. In other words, now it will be regulated. It will be taxed. And because it's taxed, we will be able to take care of those programs. So because the marijuana initiative passed, our children will benefit in school. Interesting, huh? Legalized marijuana benefits children in school. Now that's a twist, huh? Those of you who've been watching the Jack Webb Dragnets know that, oh, he's probably rolling over in the grave. If he's dead. If he's not, he's dancing around somewhere. But I couldn't believe it. they're just saying it straight out. The schools benefit. This is like when the lotteries first happened here in California. The recipient of the lottery revenues was the school system, the school districts. And you had these people coming up on TV in these commercial ads and saying, I'm doing it because the school benefits. Yeah, well, here we are 30 years later and our schools are still in the sewers. These are convenient ways of justifying things that you know are wrong. And going back now to caravan, there is an expression in the Armenian language, in the Armenian folk expressions, shall we call it? Shunagahache karavana gakale. I love this expression. The dog barks and the caravan continues. Think about that for a moment, okay? You make all this noise, you make all this protest, but the caravan's going along in its way. And it's the same in the church, because so many times you hear people that are complaining that they get up and they talk about, well, the church should do this or that. And case in point, last several weeks I've been talking about a priest who has been blackballed by the church hierarchy for doing nothing more than trying to bring people to church. And instead of us taking out our irritation on the hierarchy, on the establishment of the church, we now look and we sympathize and pitifully look at the priest and we say, too bad, too bad. And I'm hearing this over and over. It's been, what, 3 or 4 weeks now? I still hear people coming up and saying, oh, too bad, he was a nice guy. What do you mean, too bad? You want to do something about it? You need to fight about it. You need to restrict funds. You need to protest. But until you do that, the caravan continues. And you're just the barking dog. You just sit there and you're barking away, barking and barking and barking. The caravan continues. Now, do you want to make some changes in your life? Do you want to make some changes in the life of your community? Do you want to make some changes in the world that you're living in? I hope you do. You are a creation of God. You should be great. You've been created. You should be aspiring for the best in your community, in your family, in the world. I came so that you might have life and have life abundantly, says our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does this mean? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It's not talking about like material wealth. It's not talking about the abundance that fills up your pockets, because Jesus says straight out, don't fill up your pockets, because that money's not going to last you. It'll last you as long as you have it. You'll have friends. But you know what? The moths can eat away at all the preciousness that you have, but build up your treasures in heaven. And what is that? Something so that when I die, there'll be a bank account there? No! That heaven is right now. That heaven is the opportunity to love, to take care of people, to be able to push yourself to the limits. And that falls right into Thanksgiving, doesn't it? Because that's what thankfulness is about. You didn't get this wealth. You didn't come across this money because of yourself. It is because of the grace of God. And stop believing that it's because, you know, you are just smarter than everybody else and you did it. Because that kind of money won't last you. The minute your health goes, the minute you get messed up, the minute you have a sour relationship, you've lost all of that kind of wealth. But the real wealth that you build up in your heart, the real wealth that is in the kingdom of God, is that faith. And that faith will get you through the worst storms. It is the paddle that will help you steer out of those storms, as big as Sandy, as little as the wind blowing on the stream. It'll help you get out. That faith is what will help you stand up when you think you can't, when you think you can't walk anymore. When you said, I've had it, I don't want to go through this anymore. It's that faith that'll keep you standing. And so it is that Jesus tells us, he says, do not store for yourself treasures on earth, where the moth can eat away at it, where the thieves can steal it, but store up treasures in heaven. Yes, it's that faith. It's what's in your heart. It's that ability to stand up despite the difficulties. When your business goes sour, when your relationships don't work out, when you've had loss, when you just can't do it anymore. It's that faith that tells you that, yes, as President Obama said so beautifully and so eloquently the other night in his acceptance address, he said, I have always believed that hope is that stubborn thing inside of us that insists, despite all of the evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us, so long as we have the courage to keep reaching, to keep working, to keep fighting. Now, where does he get that hope? But from that faith that has been cultivated, that faith that he's invested in. But it's not a blind faith. Listen to what he says.
And tonight, despite all the hardship we've been through, despite all the frustrations of Washington, I've never been more hopeful about our future. I have never been more hopeful about America. And I ask you to sustain that hope. I'm not talking about blind optimism, the kind of hope that just ignores the enormity of the tasks ahead or the roadblocks that stand in our path. I'm not talking about the wishful idealism that allows us to just sit on the sidelines or shirk from a fight. I have always believed that hope is that stubborn thing inside us that insists, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us, so long as we have the courage to keep reaching, to keep working, to keep fighting.
Talking about hope goes hand in hand with faith. And it receives the topping of love. Faith, hope, and love. These are the things that you need to invest in. And this is when we call you to armadoxy, to the church. This is what the church should be investing you in. The church should be your broker. He calls you up and he says, hey, I've got a wild investment for you. You know, it doesn't look like everybody believes in it, but it's a good one. I want you to invest in it. That's what the church should be doing. That's what Christ did. He says, this is wild. You're not going to believe it. But there is a victory in that death. There is a victory in that crucifixion. I want you to invest in it. People say, oh, no, too much. Too much. Can't handle it. We'd rather go our own ways. And that's what we're seeing all around us. And you know, one of the big issues that no matter where you go, you hear it all the time is, how do we get the children, the youth involved in our projects? I want to share this with you. I received it just this morning as I was getting ready to put together the notes for today's show. It comes to us from Dean Soni. He is the Dean of Religious Life at the University of Southern California. I'm the chaplain for the Armenian students over there, and I have an opportunity to, you know, meet with students and also with the dean. He sends me regular briefings. And today, he's inviting me to come along with all the religious leaders to come to a special program where they're going to be hearing a speaker talk about why they leave. That's the topic. Listen to this. Sound familiar? Why they leave. Statistics say 65 to 80% of young evangelicals graduate from Christian youth ministries and never return to church again. Christian leaders from all denominations recognize the hemorrhage in the American church, but as recent statistics tell us, there is no sign of the exodus slowing. Okay, what is the percentage? 65 to 80%? These are people that are going through Christian education, youth ministries, and they're not returning. You tell me what the reason is. Are we investing in the wrong things? Youth ministries, I love it in the Armenian church. You know what that is? It's a basketball game. Let's give the kids basketball. You think that's going to bring people to church? What is that going to do? It's going to develop a basketball player, and not a good one at that. You know why? Because the YMCA, the Home Minutemen, the Scouts, they will always have better basketball courts than the church could ever produce, because that's their charter. What we can do is we can offer a faith that no one else can offer, and that faith is the Armenian Orthodox faith. Armenoxy. It's a clean one. It works. It has worked for centuries. But it takes us to believe in it. It takes us to invest in it. Invest all the way. That means if you're going to get out there and say Armenians for Obama, you better be the first person to be out there campaigning. Doesn't mean you just put up a sign out there. It means that when you're saying that I believe that the Armenian church has something to offer the children, you got to be the first person that's sitting in the Armenian church. You notice that too? In Armenian circles, it's a wild one. I know we got a lot of listeners who are not Armenian, so it's kind of like, it's funny, but trust me, this really, really happens. You have people who are in Armenian organizations, and they talk about the importance that the children return to the church. Yet they're not there either. Parents, I've dealt with parents all my life. Parents, what's going to happen to our children? Hey, what's going to happen with you? Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. The children are already sanctified by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, how about us? And how dare we believe that we have created something so great that you want the children to come and be exposed to it? Hey, look what they did to this priest. I've been sharing with you for the last several weeks, right? A priest, you know what his crime was? He brought people to church. He brought young people to church. And now they're fabricating stories. It's interesting because the same political party that was fabricating stories about him, and you remember I shared with you that it appeared in an Armenian political newspaper, the defrocking of this priest. Same one was now trying to discredit politicians because they were running against people in their party. Here in Glendale, they actually fabricated some stories. And the sad part is that it's not unbelievable anymore. It's unbelievable to me. I'm still like shocked at it, but people look at me and they go, so isn't that all part of love and war? Isn't that all part of politics? No, why should it be? I mean, I have a really hard time with that. The same way I talked about the marijuana. Is it, whether you believe that marijuana should be legal or illegal is secondary. But don't justify it by saying that, hey, it's good for the schools because now we get revenues. If you believe in the schools, pay for the schools. If you believe in a faith, pay for that faith. Pay for that church. Don't make your church survive because of chicken dinners. And it's unbelievable to me because I come from grandparents who were genocide survivors, and they never looked for handouts. My grandfather used to work in a cafeteria in New York. He used to fill up those automated vending machines. Somehow he supported my father, my grandmother, my uncle. He took care of them, got them to a house. He was able to get up enough living to put them through school. My other grandparents, amazing people. They were genocide survivors. They come to America as orphans. They got married in America in the 1920s. I believe it was in Watertown or somewhere in Massachusetts. This is like 10 years after the genocide. And then they go through the Depression. Now, my grandfather was a Roosevelt Democrat, and he insisted that we all were. In fact, anytime I hear my mother even thinking Republican, I say, hey, remember, Grandpa would turn over in his grave. My grandfather had a picture of Roosevelt on the mantle in his house. Why? Because he had gone through genocide, he had come to America and gone through this Depression. And Roosevelt put people back to work. It was that hope. It was believing in that hope. Having that hope, that faith in tomorrow. And it worked. I'll tell you another little story. My mom just reminded me of it. My grandmother was a member of the Lady Society at St. James Armenian Church here in Los Angeles. And she had made a tray of pahlava for the bazaar or for the picnic or something. They were having some kind of event. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt's son, I don't know what his name is, I want to say James, but I'm not sure, he was at the event, and he ate from my grandmother's pahlava tray. And you say, so what? What was the big deal? The president's son, the president's son, it had some meaning. It had some meaning that he had come and he had selected my grandmother's pahlava and he had eaten it. And it made her so happy. Because you can't just keep saying, give me, give me, give me. America's beautiful. It opened its doors. You have, you have, you have. Now it's up to you. And her happiness was that she was able to take some of herself and share it with this country she now calls home. With the last station on that train, on that caravan that is carrying the Armenian people. She's at that last station. It's called America. She's going to make it. She's going to make it despite the difficulties over there. Because she has hope. Because she has that faith. And most of all, she has that love in her heart. You see, this is how it works. This is what faith is. This is what religion should be. Religion should elevate us from our state of humanity to a divine state. A divine state where love is real and love is implemented in our lives. I hope you're with me until now. I love this kind of talk and thank you for indulging me if you're not with me. But this is all part of what we do over here. This is part of the Epostle programming that we put together, and we believe in it so much. We give our lives to it. I want to be very, very, very thankful to a big grant that we received recently from Wells Fargo Bank, and I want to tell you how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We are on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
I love that last chord. It just kind of resonates inside of you. Well, Susie said it. She said it. It takes money to run this, and we're so thankful for a grant that has been given to us by Wells Fargo Bank, and their support goes to Epostle Ministry and through the St. Peter Armenian Church here in Glendale. And we invite you to get involved. You know, we call our church the Church on the Corner with a worldwide mission because so many of you are involved in different ways. You're involved in the Bible studies that we do. You're involved in the podcasts, whether it's The Next Step, whether it's Compass, whether downloading the sermons, whether asking for it on CDs, you're making this a vibrant ministry. You're saying that, you know, there is something out there that the Armenian Church has to offer. It's not all about textbooks and it's not all about history books. It's about a real faith that makes sense in my life right now. So, like Susie says, you know, you can donate, you can be a part of this. One of the best things you can do right now, just forward this link to your friends. Tell people about The Next Step, about epostle.net. And it's really easy to remember. But, you know, like we Armenians have these buzzwords, you know, we have this apostle. We call ourselves the Apostolic Church. Okay, now just say it with an E. And the E is for electronic, for expanding. Epostle.net. Think of the fisherman's net. So many ways. Come on, we all know what it is. Epostle.net. And you'll find all of our programming and take a look around. You know, it's there 24/7. It's get involved. We have blogs that are all over the place on Blogspot. You could follow the Armadoxy blog. We're on Facebook. So many different places. And our latest venture is called Sunsash. And actually, you heard that little Obama piece. We use that every day. It's like a sash that ties up all of our light. And it gives you a special little message. The easiest way to subscribe to that, it's free. Okay? All you do is you go to sunsash.blogspot.com. Put in your email address and you'll get it every single day. Comes out around midnight or a little bit after midnight Pacific time. I know, but somehow it gets to you in that day. It gets to you the day we promise it, because it's within like a few minutes of midnight. So even if you are in the other faraway time zones, those of you out there in India and Japan, you know, that's okay. It gets to you, doesn't it? Anyway, that is a little addendum to what Susie had to say. We are at the end of today's show. It's been a little bit different for me because the last few days have been just very emotionally charged ones. I went back in time to 4 years ago of how we came back from Las Vegas that same night. We had campaigned, and then we had come back, and I was listening to some music on the road back. I was listening to this song about the civil rights movement and just the excitement that was in our heart that we had crossed over some of the racial boundaries and had selected the first African-American president here in the United States. Now, 4 years later, we look at it and it's a different constitution. It's a different group of people. I guess constitution wasn't the word that I should have used in that case, but you know what I'm talking about. It's another collective, and it is dynamic. Dynamic is good. I've shared that with you in the past. You know, the only thing that doesn't change is that thing that decays. It is the dead body. You don't want to be a dead body. You want to change. Things are in motion. Things are not stationary. The status quo doesn't last more than a few minutes. You need to be able to adapt to the change. And I'm looking around. The world is changing. We're living in different times where we're talking about different realities, where the president is reelected. The president has something to say that includes hope, and it also includes some of the things that we may not want to hear. But together, it makes sense in that big family called the Ndanik, which is the God's family, the family of humanity. And I want to believe that in the end, this is what we all strive to serve. So with that being said, I want to invite you to come back next week. In the meantime, get involved at the different places on our websites at epostle.net, at inhisshoes.org, the mothership. Of course, we're on Facebook. You know, you can like us at Epostle, at In His Shoes, St. Peter Armenian Church. And of course, if you're in Glendale, do stop by. Sharing a Sunday ministry with us and your Sunday worship. It's always a great time I'll be here. Hey, listen, for the beautiful family that puts together this podcast, for Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.